Sam, if you could just put the PowerPoint up, please, that'd be great. Could I just also invite Axel and I've seen Axel, and could we have Rebecca up with me as well, please? That would be lovely. Just as they come up, we've already welcomed the Fernandez family into membership. We've got some returning friends here today. John Bell is here together with his mother Anne and his brother David. They're visiting from Ireland. Do you just want to give a wave, guys, if you want to turn around? You're very welcome to be with us here this morning. Fantastic to see you. And if you get a chance to speak to them after the service, do go and say hello. We've got this passage and this short text for us today, and it's going to be read for us in a moment, but can I encourage you, if possible, to have it open in front of you, either in good old-fashioned paper Bible form or perhaps on your phone. We're going to actually hear today's reading twice, and we're going to hear it in French once and in Chinese once, with the same text being shown up on the screen. And that's why I've invited Axel and Rebecca up here. And there's two reasons for us hearing God's word in different languages. One is a Bible-based reason, and one is a church-based reason. Firstly, when we hear God's word in different languages, we participate in what is both a Pentecost and a revelation moment. Pentecost was a multilingual event, and Revelation presents a multinational vision. And secondly, we are also an international church. We have people from many different countries and languages, and we love that. And if we are to be a truly intercultural church, then we need to perhaps, us British people, just be ready to tweak our mindset a little bit from necessarily expecting that the English or British cultural model is automatically the dominant one that we expect everyone else to assimilate to. Because God speaks in a number of ways, in a number of languages, through different people. So, we're going to hear this reading. The context of it is the Last Supper, Jesus' final evening and final meal with his disciples. He's just shown that wonderful example of love and of servanthood by washing the disciples' feet. He's then predicted his betrayal. And indeed, Judas has just left the room to go to the Jewish religious authorities to carry out this task. So here we are, John 13, verse 31, and Axel is going to read it for us in French to start with.
Quand il fut parti, Jésus dit, maintenant la gloire du Fils de l'homme éclate, et Dieu va être glorifié en lui. Dieu à son tour va glorifier le Fils de l'homme en lui-même, et il le fera bientôt. Mes chers enfants, je suis encore avec vous, mais plus pour longtemps. Vous me chercherez, et ce que j'ai dit à tous, je vous le dis à vous aussi maintenant. Vous ne pouvez pas aller là où je vais. Je vous donne un commandement nouveau. Aimez-vous les uns les autres. Oui, comme je vous ai aimé. Aimez-vous les uns les autres. À ceci, tous reconnaîtront que vous êtes mes disciples, à l'amour que vous aurez les uns pour les autres.
Thank you very much, Axel. And now Rebecca is going to come and read it to us in Chinese.
他既出去，耶稣就说：如今人子得了荣耀，神在人子身上也得了荣耀。神要因自己荣耀人子。 并且要快快地荣耀他。小子们，我还有不多的时候与你们同在。后来你们要找我，但我所去的地方你们不能到。这话我曾对犹太人说过，如今也照样对你们说。我赐给你们一条新命令，乃是叫你们彼此相爱。我怎样爱你们？ 你们也要怎样相爱。你们若有彼此相爱的心，众人因此就认出你们是我的门徒了。
Thank you very much indeed. I've no idea whether I pressed the clicker at the right moment in that one. I think I might have gone a bit early. Here we have it. Love. Love one another. Jesus' new command to his disciples on this, his final evening with them, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. Love. Love God and live generously. That's our current vision statement here at NMBC, isn't it? I mentioned it 2 weeks ago when I spoke about God's heart and vision for us as a church. Love is a beautiful four-letter word. And it's a beautiful four-letter word that when I gave a New Year's message back on Sunday the 7th of January, I suggested could be expressed amongst us here at NMBC through five other key words. Here's the memory test. Can anyone remember what any of them were? Don't all rush at once or I'll be killed in the stampede. Welcome, Jenny Wright. Brilliant. Welcome. Anyone else? Encouraging. Thank you, Joy. Ladies leading the line as ever. Come on, guys, get with it. Being. Jenny on the button again. That's three down, two to go. Sharing. This is a double act, these two. Wonderful. Okay, we got one to go. Growing. Woohoo! There it is. Round of applause, I think, for that. Very good. Well done. Welcoming, encouraging, being, sharing, growing. Those are five words that God put on my heart during times of prayer and reflection over the Christmas and New Year period. Words that I felt would be important for us this year and moving forwards. And when I spoke back in January, I said that to my sense of it is that these words describe both who we are already to a certain extent, but they're also words that we should aspire to and seek to go deeper in. So here we are, late July, about to move into the summer holiday period, looking towards the future. So it's an opportunity at approximately the halfway point of the year for us to review and reflect again on these five words. What do we see? How do we feel? And how are we doing as a church as far as these things are concerned? So I'm going to need your help with this. Karen said she'd need your help at the start, and I need your help right now. I said 2 weeks ago as well that God's vision for his church, past, present, and future, is every member ministry. Not member in terms of those who've been voted in at church meeting and been welcomed here on the stage, but every member of God's family, every believer and follower of Jesus Christ, whatever their age, whatever their nationality, whatever their gifting, is called to be involved in his church and here in his mission. So, what we're going to do is I'm going to look briefly at each of these five words in turn, and I'm going to ask you how you collectively think as a church we're doing with these. Then I'm going to share what I've recently seen in each of these areas, and also I hope to challenge us further and to think how in the second half of 2024 we might collectively as a church be able to go a bit deeper in some of these areas. Here's that first word, welcoming. Now, I was going to do this in a very high-tech manner, but in the end, I just thought, I'm not a high-tech kind of guy. I'm just going to go, you know, traditional. And I used to do this, forgive me, hark back to my teaching days with some of my classes at school. What I want you to do in your head, each of you now, is if you were rating NMBC in terms of how welcoming it was, with 10 being super welcoming, the most welcoming place you could imagine, and 1 being terrible, and everything in between, I want you mentally to give a score, okay? Now, I'm going to turn my back because I don't want to be influenced by what you say. If you gave it a score of between 1 and 3, can you put your hand up, please? If you gave us a score of between 4 and 6, put your hand up. Between 7 and 9, put your hands up. If you gave us 10 out of 10, put your hands up. Okay, put your hands down. Okay, you're in a much better position than me now because you've got an idea what you feel, and I haven't. But I often hear that people say they find NMBC to be a very welcoming church, and that is great because welcoming comes in many different forms. And I wanted to share just one example of welcome that I've been really encouraged by recently. We prayed for our young people a moment ago. Annalise led us in that. And they have been great at welcoming each other and their friends, often with no previous church background or experience. There was one lad in particular who first came along to one of the Sunday evening youth services that Annalise ran. This one happened to be in Cafe 63. And having come along for the first time that evening, this young man has been plugged in ever since. And here's perhaps why. This is the WhatsApp message that he posted on the WhatsApp chat group for the young people just after the final Thursday evening youth group meeting, which was a super barbecue hosted by Bob and Di. This is what he said. "It's been a pleasure being with you guys, playing games, doing art, etc. Before I came here, I was very lonely and nervous to talk to anyone. And now I'm here making friends, which is great. I hope to see all of you after the summer break. I will miss you all. Have a great summer." That's lovely, isn't it? Somebody who previously had felt lonely, nervous about talking to anyone, didn't really have a place, a bit like perhaps that young girl who Annalise mentioned in that youth group in Earlsfield. Similar story here, but amongst our own young people, he found welcome. Now, this guy, not actually a native English speaker, he's got special educational needs, but he feels welcomed and encouraged because of the witness of our young people, and that's great to hear. That said, collectively, I think we have more we can do in this area. It was interesting, I was speaking to one of our international church members this week, and I asked her whether she'd found NMBC to be welcoming. And she told me that she'd been really warmly welcomed when she and her family were new to the church, but felt perhaps that once people were sort of used to seeing them and they'd become regulars, they perhaps hadn't quite experienced that same level of care and interest on an ongoing basis. I wonder if that's inevitable. Maybe, maybe not, but it is certainly thought-provoking. So how might we respond? A question for you and a question for us all. When was the last time that you invited someone from outside of your established circle of friends into your home for a meal or to meet up for coffee? Not someone from your home group or your church peer group or someone who shares one of your core interests, rather someone very different from you, perhaps older, perhaps younger, somebody from a different cultural or linguistic background, someone perhaps who might seem to have very little in common with you, except, of course, being a brother or sister in Christ. Back in the mid-1990s, as a young student in Newcastle, I was new to the city and I was looking for a church to worship in. I went to the evening service at Westgate Road Baptist Church and I was approached after the service by a man in his 80s. He invited me back to his house after the service for tea and a chat. We were different ages, different stages, but his welcome made all the difference, and I continue to worship at Westgate Road Baptist Church for my next 2 years at university. Welcome reflects God's heart. Welcome is a powerful witness. And I think welcoming is a word that describes us quite well, but where God has more work to do in us and through us as we move forwards together. Let's move to the next word, encouraging. Remember this previous NMBC vision statement that I mentioned 2 weeks ago, a vision that's played an important role in my own perspective on ministry. There it is, to be a Christ-centered community which practices a ministry of encouragement. Same exercise. How do you think we're doing as a church collectively in terms of being encouraging? In your head, decide on a score, 10 brilliantly encouraging, 1 awful, or somewhere in between. Here we go again. 1 to 3, put your hands up. 4 to 6, put your hands up. 7 to 9, put your hands up. 10, put your hands up. Put your hands down. Okay, thank you. Did everyone vote, by the way? I didn't look. No, just so focused on her own score. Not interested in what everyone else says. She knows what she's voting for and goes for it. Like it. Encouragement. Encouragement comes in different forms, doesn't it? And I've been personally encouraged by different people, both over the years and in recent times. So thank you for that. I wasn't intending to say this, but Kate Barr sat there, encouraged me before she even became a member of this church. She brought a flask of coffee, a mug of hot chocolate, and a freshly baked homemade cake to us when we were giving out Easter eggs in the park a number of years ago. Thank you, Kate. I also wanted to mention one other young woman, however, who I believe is a tremendous embodiment of the gift of encouragement. This young woman's only been with us a relatively short period of time, but within that time, she's volunteered and served in numerous ways on numerous occasions. She's encouraged me by feeding back to me as to how she thinks we could improve things for those who are suffering from a particular kind of physical limitation. She's also encouraged me by asking for advice about situations that she's found challenging, and by saying that she wants to go deeper in her faith. She's also now started attending the Thursday evening Bible reading group in Cafe 63. That's pretty encouraging stuff. But again, collectively, I think we've got more to do in this area. When you're a pastor, people like to get things off their chest with you sometimes. And within the last week or so, I've had one of our members, a passionate woman of God and a fantastic servant, tell me that despite volunteering to serve in a particular area, her experience was that she wasn't really being listened to. Her opinions and suggestions were either kind of being sidelined or else perhaps were still ignored. She's not giving up, she's not going away, she's continuing to serve, but she's not been encouraged. Do we say that's a shame, or do we say that's unacceptable? So how might we respond? Another question, how do we express our opinions and attitudes towards one another? Either by what we say or what we don't say, how we act or how we don't act, how we make ourselves available or don't. Is what we say, do, and are encouraging for others around us, even those we sometimes find frustrating, sometimes difficult, sometimes challenging? Over the course of my 3 years as a newly accredited minister, I've been blessed by the help and encouragement of 3 men who I've asked to be my support and accountability partners. All 3 are from outside this church setting. They're all trusted Christian friends who I've asked to journey with me, to keep me accountable, to encourage me and support me, but also to challenge me. Because life's journey is not easy, and even with Jesus alongside us, it isn't a journey that God intends us to walk alone. Do we, I wonder, as individuals, have anyone who we've specifically asked to come alongside us, to encourage us, to support us, to challenge us, to keep us accountable in faith and life? If we don't, who might we ask to do that for us? Somebody to share wisdom and experience, someone to perhaps mentor and encourage us, whatever age we are. Who could we do that for somebody else? If you're up for doing that, or if you feel you'd like that, but you don't know who to ask, then please speak to me. I won't be doing it myself, but I'll try and link you up with somebody. I'd love all of us to have someone alongside us who can encourage us, and also someone else who we too can encourage. So encouraging is a word which I believe describes us quite well, but where God has more work to do in us and through us as we move forwards. Third word, being. How are you doing? In fact, simply, how are you? Because life, at least life as God intended, isn't only about the doing. Sometimes it's just about being. And when I talk about being in this context, I mean it in two ways. Firstly, being in the sense of our identity, being who we are in Christ, rather than allowing ourselves to be defined or dictated to by what we're doing. Secondly, being is also a mark of authenticity. Being means no pretense, no mask, no Sunday-only Christianity. It means being ambassadors for Christ 24/7, every time, everywhere, every how. So how are we doing on that front? Score out of 10 in your head. Vote time. 1 to 3. 4 to 6. 7 to 9. 10. Hands down. Being also expresses itself in many different forms. Sometimes being is about solitude and silence. It's about sitting quietly with God, perhaps saying nothing at all, listening attentively, reading God's word, praying, singing, journaling, drawing, an act of quiet rebellion against the hamster wheel of society's must-dos, could-dos, or should-dos. Sometimes being is simply about living out our role as well as we can. I've been humbled and inspired recently by a man amongst us here in this fellowship who's struggling with ill health on a personal level and on a wider family level, but who, amongst the questions, the challenges, and the uncertainties he's facing, is unrelenting in his mission of being the best husband and the best father that he can be. Sometimes being is about character. Character you can count on. Last week, two members of our church family demonstrated their servant-hearted character by coming out of the service with no prior warning to cover for a leader of the creche group who was absent due to illness. I was encouraged by that. Thank you. That said, collectively, I think we've got more to do in this area as well. Over this past year, we've had a few weeks earmarked for us, both individually and as a church, to stop, rest, and pray. I think we've prayed, but I'm not sure we found it easy to stop and to rest. I haven't found it easy to stop and to rest. But we do need to. We need to because we're in this for the long haul. Ministry takes place when divine resources meet human need through loving channels for the glory of God. And in this sense, we are all ministers, or all should be. We are all loving channels for God's divine resources to meet the needs of others. Ministry can be tiring. It's a marathon, not a sprint. And so we need individually and collectively to stop and to rest as well as to pray. And we may not find that easy. I don't find it easy. It may not always be popular. But if we don't recognize the need to be rested and refreshed, not only are we more likely to lose our sense of joy in serving, but we also risk implicitly suggesting that God can't continue to do his work without us. As a result of my time off with stress-induced depression earlier this year, I've had plenty of opportunity to reflect on this, and I've been asked on more than one occasion, how can the church best help and support me in trying to prevent this type of thing from happening again? And as I've thought about this in preparing this talk, part of the answer to this question has come a little bit more sharply into focus. It's this. Please can we all, individually and collectively as a church, ensure that we prioritize the need to take time out, to stop, to rest, to breathe, to refresh, to pray, and to listen. That'll help me and Darla, and I believe it's also on God's heart to help each one of us. So how might you do this? Well, how about booking in a time of retreat, just to be with the Lord, to cease your normal activities or ministry, perhaps to go away to a quiet place for a day, maybe to just be quiet at home or in a local park, doesn't have to be anything flash. To take a day, at least a whole day, just to be, to listen, and to pray. Now, the week beginning the 21st of September, we're going to start with a hive of activity. It's the church big clean. But it's also, actually, the week that follows, designated as National Retreat Week this year. And I'd love to encourage as many of you as possible to join me in taking time out just to be with God, ideally during that week, but if not, definitely at some point in the second half of this year. And if you'd like suggestions about how to go about that or where you might be able to do that locally, again, please get in touch via the church office. Being is a word which describes us moderately well, I think, but where God has more work to do in us and through us as we move forward. I've got to pick up the pace with the last couple of words. Sharing. Sharing's not only about money and possessions, it's also about sharing our time, our skills, and of course sharing the good news of Jesus with those around us. Missional sharing, so to speak. Think of your own number again out of 10. I'm not going to ask you to put your hands up this time, but where would you put us in terms of our sharing as a church family? Again, I've seen this happen in so many different ways, but at this point, I'd really just briefly like us to hear from Dolores. Dolores allowed me to visit her at home last week, and she shared something with me which struck me and encouraged me. So I'm just going to ask her about that. Can we have the mic on, please, Farhang? Dolores, you said you hadn't perhaps been feeling great a couple of weeks ago. Is that right?
That's right. I've been feeling rather neglected, as if I didn't belong. I shared it on Wednesday, and I really don't want to go through it all again.
Okay, that's fine. I know everyone who was here on Wednesday heard that. There was something, however, that I said in Sunday morning a couple of weeks ago that changed your perspective a little bit.
Yes. Over the past weeks, I've been thinking, I've been laid aside. When I came to the meeting, the church meeting a couple of weeks ago and listened to your last message. And one of the things that you said, I usually, I don't hear everything when I come to church because my hearing aid doesn't always work for me. But this Sunday, I did put my hearing aid. I had it charged, and I did wear it because I want to hear everything. And one of the last seven words that you said spoke to me as if it was for me. And they were, God is not finished with you yet.
Amen. God's not finished with you yet. Absolutely. And what have you thought you want to do as a result of that, Dolores?
Well, I realize that I've been laid aside for a reason. There's not many of us that meet three people 7 days a week on your own that you can talk to. And I could either be a blessing or a curse. And God, I didn't realize this until I listened to your message. And I felt it was for me. And I was working with one of my carers. And after I asked to speak to you that Sunday, and I listened to your words, I went home and I decided, you said I should ring the office and make an appointment to see you. But after I listened to your words, I decided I didn't want to speak to you anymore. But you rang me, and you came to see me, and I spilled my guts out, as it were. But I realized that God was speaking to me through those seven words, God is not finished with you yet. And I took that to heart. And one of the things that really stirred me was the fact that you cared enough to call me, even though I didn't call you. You came to see me, and as I said, we talked. And I realized that I remember when I was at school. It's a long time ago, 90-odd years ago now. And there was a lady that used to sing this song, Shine for the Lord, just where you are. Into the light, out of the light, shine for the Lord where you are. And that song's been going round and round in my head, and I realized that the Lord wanted me where I am for a reason.
That's absolutely brilliant, isn't it? And what Dolores hasn't shared with you, but she just had on her heart that out of those carers who go in to her house, she wanted to share God's word with them. And so she asked us, could we get hold of a copy of the Bible that she can then give out to the carer who will be coming to visit her at home tomorrow, this evening, I think. So Chung has helped with that, and that's a Bible for you to give to your carer, Dolores. That's just one carer. We'll get some more for you next week, Dolores. All right. I'm mindful of time. I'm not going to add much now to what Dolores has said there. I think that is that's powerful enough as it stands. Sharing our time, our money, sharing the gospel, the word of God. But we're in this to grow. We're in this to grow. We can grow in all of these areas. We're here to grow in prayer. We're here to grow in passion for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're here to grow in faith, in grace, and in goodness. So those five words, stemming out of Jesus' command to love one another. Love through welcoming, through encouraging, through being, through sharing, and through growing. And my prayer is that as God's family, we'll continue to love God and live generously, that we'll all be involved in that ministry, and that together, as God's family, we're those who seek to welcome, encourage, be, share, and grow in Jesus Christ, for his name's sake. Amen. Let's just pray. Lord God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thank you that you are the God of love. Thank you that you have poured your love out into us. And as a result of that, it's a love that we can share. We can be loving channels for you to pour out your divine resources to meet human need for your glory. Help us to do that. Help us to encourage one another, to welcome one another. Help us to be the people you've made us to be. Help us to share generously with all that you've given us. And help us to grow in knowledge, in love, in faith, and in unity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.